Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
JF Stretford Paddock, and this is Howson's Brew. And as you may notice, it's Howson's Brew with a difference. There's no Howson. But don't panic. Don't need to click off.
That's
just
what
yet.
I'm here for.
Yeah, this is how, because we've got an able substitute, and Alex Baggers is with us as well. And we've also got George Baker, one of the founding members of FC United, who's joined us. Thanks for coming on the show,
no
George.
Worries.
You're going to talk to us a little bit about, obviously, what happened in 2005 with FC United and the anti-Glazer protest then, and what he makes of what's going on recently with the recent protests, the protests that are planned as well, and just, you know, what is going down? Is it, are we ever going to get rid of the Glazers? What's going on there? And how close did we come in the past as well? So if you've got any questions for George about FC United, about the process in the past, give us a shout. Any questions for me and Baggers, get involved. Hit like, hit share, hit subscribe, and give us your questions as well. George, thanks for coming on. I just wanted to ask you a little bit about, sort of, because some of our viewers may not know a lot about FC United. They may be a bit confused about what FC United is, what it stands for. Just talk us through, like, from the beginning, how did FC United come about and who the people sort of involved in it?
Well, it came about, it was first mooted around January 2005 in Red Issue, the sadly now out of print fanzine. It had first been touted around the time of the Murdoch's takeover, the idea of it. Like, there'd been word about whether or not, like, a breakaway club could be an option. But it started to take root around the time it was pretty obvious that the Glazers were getting a majority shareholding in United. And it had been a culmination of all sorts of things, like not just the Glazer takeover, but obviously the sanitisation of the matchday experience, ever-increasing ticket prices, just the general corporate takeover of football. But the idea that United wouldn't be able... the United would be privately owned by a man who's clearly not a football man, by quite a hostile debt leverage takeover. It became too much for a lot of people, and the idea was to show that we're serious, that we won't be turning up as fans if the Glazers take over. The idea of a breakaway club was jotted out in Red Issue. And ever since then, it just gained traction. And when the takeover finally happened in May 2005, the ball got rolling very, very quickly. And it was a steering committee of 10 to 15 people who basically just had to create a football club from scratch, find a ground to play at, find players, find a coach, and find a league to play in. And they had to apply for that league, do a presentation for the league, who, of course, were understandably sceptical about a project like this, which certainly had never been seen, certainly never in the north of England anyway. So it was completely unprecedented in many ways to form a breakaway club. And the idea was for it to be fan-owned, completely 100% fan-owned, so that it was Glazer-proof, essentially.
Which is, I mean, it seems madness now that it even got through in the end, the Glazer thing. And the fact that there were so many United fans against it, but it just let in. I think that the feeling now is that, for me, is that at that time, I think that a lot of people against it were fans of other clubs are just like United fans, spoiled United fans that are complaining about more money coming to your club and things like that. I think that that was the kind of tone with it all. I was a little bit too young to remember it, but at the same time, going into 2010, it was still the same kind of stuff. Was you complain about not quite making as much money as everyone else, you complaining about you not being owned by a billionaire, by someone that's not putting the money in. Whereas I think the feeling around it now is, I think that because of the Super League, was it wasn't just an effect on Manchester United. It wasn't just that. I think that with a few more fans getting involved and other clubs going, wow, that Glazer takeover in 2005 hasn't just influenced Manchester United Football Club in terms of the fans going to the games, hasn't just influenced Manchester United Football Club in terms of the transfers that we've been able to make, but could now have a trickle-down effect of affecting the whole pyramid of English football. That's the scary thing for me. Did you see that happening then? Did you have that feeling? Was that one of the major things, that it wasn't just about Man United? You were hoping that people would kind of realise it from outside of Manchester United.
Of course, yeah, because we tried saying, this isn't just bad for Man United, this is bad for all of football. And of course, that essentially sounds like a typically arrogant Man U fan statement, just to say, it's all about you, isn't it? So, we're literally being laughed at by other fans because, they saw it as the demise of Man United, like the most successful club of the last 10, 15 years. Oh, it's hilarious because it'll be less dominance from Manchester United. And they didn't see it as, an extremely dangerous thing to do for football as a whole. And we knew that, rumours of a European Super League have been around for God knows how long now, coming up to probably 30 years. People have been talking about it for so long. And it's no surprise whatsoever that American owners, who've been involved with American sports franchises, were of course going to be at the forefront of something like that. And that's what the anti-Glazer message was about, really. It was not just bad for Manchester United, it's bad for the whole of football, and that's what we've seen. And we've got the whole, Man U fans creating their own club. What are they going to do? They're all just spoiled TV subscribers from London and the South East. What are they going to do? And no one's going to turn up because it's in Manchester and all that crap. So it's, we got all of that. And of course, it surprised a lot of people that we ended up being so successful. Three straight promotions as a fan-owned club. Obviously, we were getting 2,000 to 3,000 fans every game in leagues where there's only 50 to 100 turning up. We played Salford City back when they were getting 150 people and playing in amber. so it was a good laugh. They had to move it to the Willows, the rugby league stadium, because Moor Lane was just a patch of grass back then, essentially. So it was a great time. But there was a lot of scepticism, and a lot of it completely unfounded based on, perceptions of what we are as United fans.
How hard was it for you, George? Because you're a United fan, and then, the Glazers come in, and, you're someone who's going to the games, and then you're saying, right, I just can't do this anymore. I can't carry on going to Old Trafford or not supporting, but go to these games whilst these owners are in place. How hard was it for you to walk away from that? And I know you're still, obviously a United fan, but to stop going and doing what you're doing and join this club that didn't exist until you got involved. How hard was all that?
It was really difficult at first. For me, I was quite young. I was only 19 at the time and I didn't have a season ticket. And one of the reasons is, how many teenagers could afford a Premier League season ticket, particularly at Manchester United?
Yeah, of course it is.
And so, for me to no longer go, from a personal perspective, I was enjoying Old Trafford less and less. Found myself having to go on my own sometimes because I couldn't get two tickets, and you could hardly ever get more than two tickets. And you're getting chubbed to 66% of the time, and it was just like, is it really worth it when I can get tickets? And I'm just, I remember one of the last games I went to was Portsmouth. Oh, I think it was in March 2005. And Stand Up If You're Not For Sale was going around Old Trafford. And Stretford End was going for it. But I think I was in the South Stand. Can you imagine how that went down? In the South Stand, standing up in front of people. Sit down. You're standing up to, show your support for the club and to show your opposition to what's going to be a horrible takeover. And there's just people yelling at you to sit down. So it wasn't too difficult for me from a personal perspective, but there were so many at FC United who'd been going for 30 or 40 years, season ticket holders, home and away, Europe, everywhere. It was a lot more difficult for them. And they were the ones at the forefront of the creation of the club. And they had to not only stop going to United, but spending all their time helping and create and you know, helping to prop up this new club. So it was much, much harder for them. Me as a young fan who'd become disillusioned quite early with it all, it was less difficult because we ended up having such a good time in those early years. Yeah. And it still gets talked about now, like the first season particularly, like the joy we were having following a club that was ours and a club that had an old school United atmosphere that we'd created with like-minded Reds, kind of it far outweighed the disappointment in many ways. Obviously, it was gut-wrenching sometimes to watch, because we were still watching United in the pub. You can't get rid of it. You're watching the Reds. It's for life. So, and we still, you know, it's a catch-22. You want United to win, but you don't want the Glazers to be successful. But we were just like, it's United. So love for United overrides dislike of the Glazers. But yeah, it was a really good time. But yeah, sometimes, you know, like I remember the 7-1 against Roma, topical. Yeah. I just remember sitting at home and thinking, I wish I was there for this one. You know, there's a few like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really was terrific in the early years, and it still is.
It's a weird one with the Super League, because we had this feeling last week, didn't we? Yeah. Where, I mean, all we do is talk about Manchester United. That's what we do. And I think that it got to a point, I mean, probably Monday, Tuesday last week, when this kind of all got announced and all, it got to the point where everyone kind of went, this isn't going to stop now. There's no way this is going to stop. And back of my mind, I still think that there'll be something else come around.
Of course.
And we all just kind of went, would you watch anymore? Because I think that the change in ownership, I think the fact that it was the same kind of, it's still playing in the Premier League, still playing in the first division of English football and all that kind of stuff, it still kind of had that feel. And I think a lot of fans still had that feel to it. But I think if you'd have had that Super League, because I think eventually that would have led to United not having the first team in the Premier League. I don't think that would have happened. I think most of us would kind of had that feeling last week that this is the end of us watching Manchester United completely. It's not just going to grounds, but I think people would have just tuned out. I think that this was the bigger feeling. I think that was that Man United fans weren't, the local Man United fans weren't going to even watch United anymore. It wasn't just going to be not going to the grounds and stuff and not doing that. It just wasn't going to be football anymore to go and watch. And that impact that was going to have all the way down to what that meant to other clubs in the Premier League other clubs in the Football League was just, it was sickening. So to see a club like FC United, and we've been involved a little bit, been involved with Paddock FC with Steve's stuff, and you know, being involved with lads that you get on with, and that kind of feel, you thought you were going to get away with Paddock FC stuff today without housing.
You always bring up Paddock FC.
Always bring up Paddock FC.
Honestly, it drives me mad, George. Yeah, you know.
But at the same time, that you being involved in something and going watching that kind of game does have a bit of a different feeling to watching Man United. You feel more connected to the footballers and the players because you know their story a bit more. It's a bit more relatable than what Manchester United has become now.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you really do feel part of it. Yeah. Like when you're at AFC, whether or not you volunteer just on the turnstiles or whether you're in the boardroom or selling half-time draw tickets, you know, you really feel an involvement in the club. Like, and, you know, the players come to the bar after the game. They're always approachable. You chat to them. They all get an introduction to the club when they arrive. Like the manager that we've got at the moment, Neil Reynolds, is terrific. Like he's really like bought into the idea of the club, and you know the players are told straight away, you know, this is what we're about, and we're a fans club, and the connection to the fans is really, really important. So you really have something. For us, it's like we created a model of what we think Manchester United should be. You know, like a club that that cares about its local community, where you feel a connection. Where you enjoy yourself week in, week out. And yeah, I've seen like Shepherd Paddock FC. I know that they released a statement saying that they'd look into like a fan ownership model, which is great. You know, more fan owned clubs the better. Yep. Not sure there's room for two Manchester United fan owned clubs like with United fans, but you know, more power to you, yeah. Steve. Go for it.
Yeah.
No, I don't blame you. With what's been going on recently, George, and you've seen it all with obviously the Super League stuff and the there was a protest at the ground last weekend. There's going to be a protest this Sunday. You've been there yourself for protests and obviously with FC United. Do you think this could bring around change? Do you see anything different now this time round than you saw back in those days? I mean, you could be honest, mate. You know?
Yeah, right. Look, any anti-Glazer protest, whether it be now, whether it was 16 years ago, is valid, and yeah. I'm delighted to see it happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do. I am a bit skeptical. I know what you were saying earlier about how it just felt it felt different this time. Without the European Super League, who would bother going watch it? It's just a load of glorified friendlies, essentially. So it did feel different, and the reaction to it, even though, you know, you obviously Gary Neville and everyone on Sky Sports, things like that, they're all saying the right things. But it is a little jarring to see them being held up as the heroes of the against modern football movement, if you like, because you know they couldn't have been quieter during those 16 years, and Neville particularly even defended the Glazers on some occasions. So when Sky, it does feel like it was great to see the fan protest, not just at United but the fans of the other five clubs. And to actually bring about change, but it felt as if people were doing it because Sky Sports were telling them to be angry rather than actual anger themselves. And like, I'm glad that they used their platform to get rid of it. But it was just a little like when we've been, ridiculed and told how wrong we are, and the Glazers aren't that bad for the last 16 years. For then, by some of the people speaking out now, it's just. Well, okay. So, and with regards to the protest now, I do see a similarity. Like, I don't know if you remember the protest against the Glazers just before they took over again, before the Milan Champions League game in 2005. It was a huge one.
Yeah.
It was like 20, 30,000 people. And I'm hearing numbers like 10,000 coming down on Sunday. So it all feels very similar. And I remember thinking when FC United formed, we're going to be massive. We're going to have 20, 30,000 fans because all these people have said, all these people have joined Shareholders United to try and block the Glazers. They're all going to come along, and they've all said they're not going to go when the Glazers take over. And a lot of people just kind of shrugged and went, oh, well, there's nothing we can do now. They've taken over the club, but it's still United. I'm just going to carry on. And I worried that that would be the case with the Super League. You know, I thought once the ball got rolling and the clubs pulled out and they said, this is happening, and the first game of the Super League rolled round, I just remember thinking, everybody's just going to do the same like in 2005. I'm very happy, though, to see that that's not been the case and that they've stopped it.
Yeah, completely agree. We're going to have a quick break there for a little advertiser. Cameron, can you roll that for us? The House and Brew podcast is sponsored by Manscaped. Manscaped is the leader in men's below-the-waist grooming. Did you know that, Jay?
No, well, I did actually.
You did know that.
Because I've come to realise it, that they are.
They are the best.
For a reason, because they're the best.
And they're now available in the USA, Canada, the UK, Australia, New Zealand, and the EU. Everywhere, Manscaped now. And you can use the code HOUSEAND20 to get 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com. Jay, did you know one guy every hour, every day is diagnosed with a testicular cancer? So this is a reminder to all men listening to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
That was the most uncanny Ice Cube impersonation I've ever seen. I thought I was sat with half of NWA there. No, joking aside though, yeah, it's serious. You got to check yourself, haven't you?
Yeah.
And it's good that they're reminding us of that as well. And obviously, Manscaped's, in addition to providing the right tools and solutions for safe and easy manscaping, they've partnered up with the Testicular Cancer Society to spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection, because obviously you need to look after yourself, guys. You need to check yourself down there, make sure everything's okay.
Yep.
So together, TCS and Manscaped are committed to raising awareness for the most common form of cancer in men aged 15 to 35, and giving support for fighters, survivors and families impacted by testicular cancer as part of their We Save Balls initiative. And even though I've not been 35 for a good few weeks, I do adhere to that policy of checking myself.
Make sure you check yourself. So whilst you're down there cleaning up your sack with the Manscaped 3.0.
The 3.0, that lawnmower technology.
The lawnmower 3.0.
Hey, come on, you know it makes sense.
Give them a little investigation for lumps, changes in size or any pain. I think we can all agree it's pretty fun playing with your balls. Anyway,
that was a serious like type read there. And it's like, okay, usually the Manscaped ones are a bit jovial. We have a little bit of a giggle. Very serious. And then it goes, we can all agree it's quite good checking your balls.
Yeah. So in addition to checking yourself regularly, you want to make sure your sack is looking fresh and clean with the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Inside the Perfect Package, you'll get all of their amazing products, including some liquid formulations that only use the best ingredients. They've got the Crop Preserver, the anti-chafing deodorant, the Crop Reviver, a spray-on ball toner and refresher. The Perfect Package 3.0 also includes the anti-chafing boxes, which are very, very good, by the way, that keep your package cool and feeling fresh. Ronaldo Brown does love the boxes from Manscaped.
Your boxes, or he's got his own?
He's got his own ones. Okay. Everyone's got them in the office. No, we don't share. No. So join the Manscaped movement and start taking care of your balls today. So get 20% off 20%. And free shipping using HOWSON20 at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. So get 20% off free shipping with code HOWSON20. That's HOWSON20 at manscaped.com.
Link in the description. Yes. T's and C's applies. Do look after yourself, check yourself, and get involved. Thanks for those messages. We've got a super chat in from DChan87. It says, if the Glazers do sell, should we be worried that someone much worse than them could buy United? Was that a concern, George? Is that something, because that is the sort of question. You go, oh, well, if the Glazers sold, then maybe, you know, a royal family from the Middle East may take us over, which has its own moral conundrum, shall we say, because then it's like, okay, you're swapping bad businessmen or greedy businessmen for what could be, you know, people trying to distract from a murderous regime, for example. Is that sort of something you think about? Or we should
I don't know if there's much more I can add to what I just said there, because you're absolutely right. Like, who on earth can actually afford to buy United from the Glazers? Probably a Middle Eastern consortium with their own human rights allegations. I think we've got enough of that in Manchester, haven't we?
Well said.
It would just be, it's a difficult one. But at the same time, you know, you never know what's going to come out. I know that I don't know how realistic the Red Knights campaign is. I have seen a statement from them in the last couple of weeks. I don't know if that's a realistic thing. It's a difficult one because, you know, who is morally better? Because, you know, only billionaires, only another billionaire or a consortium of millionaires will probably be able to afford United in that respect. So, what is the answer?
I think that's the thing. There's a lot of comments in here about the petition just hit 100K, which is for, you know, to legislate the 50+1 coming in, or to at least have a discussion in Parliament, which is looking likely to way to go. I mentioned this at the start. I think that, for me, the one reason that this has a little bit of legs now is that it's not just Manchester United fans. Because I think that what everyone has asked for in the last few years, especially as a lot of people as United fans, is just get the Glazers out, get someone else in. And we talked about the worst possible thing of getting someone else from a country with human rights violations and stuff. That's the other option. I think that the good thing about this is you've got almost like the likes of Liverpool, whose owners have done well and invested in the club and have actually improved them as a football team, are also getting called out in all this. Because I think that that's a little bit of all this, is that City fans have gone quiet very quickly this week. It was all involved last week. We want them out and stuff like that. We wanted to change and stuff. But then Champions League semi-final comes around, and they're like, that's more important.
City were the first club to pull out. They're clinging to this, we're the ones who destroyed it by pulling out. They're literally saying this. I'm getting messages from Blues going, you know, you're welcome. And it's like, come on. No. You make any excuses for Sheikh Mansour, don't you? So it's
and this
ridiculous.
Is the whole thing, is that I think that I don't think buying the club is the possibility. I don't think that anyone's going to be able to afford. I don't think it's going to come out, and I don't think there's a benefit on us. I think this 50+1 thing, I don't know how much you know about that in terms of the German model. Is that similar to how you see things being run, similar to what you guys did at FC United, or what's the kind of...
Well, the 50+1 model, it's very popular in like Germany, for example, and it's more to do with voting rights rather than anything else. And it's infinitely preferable to what we've got.
Yeah.
But in order for it to really happen, it would likely have to be government legislation. Yeah. And without getting too political, I'm not too sure if the government we've got at the moment are very interested in handing things back to the public.
No,
from private business owners. So it's a bit of a stretch to rely on that. But you mentioned the petition. It is very refreshing that that's got to 100K, so it will get discussed in Parliament. We're heading towards that. FC United, for example, we're not 50+1, we're 50+50. It's 100% fan owned, and that's essentially what we would like ideally for most clubs, and I think it's achievable at a lot of clubs, certainly in the lower leagues outside of the Premier League. Yeah. Portsmouth had it for a while, Swansea City, Notts County, like all of those became fan-owned clubs and eventually voted to sell parts of the club at least to private business owners. And obviously, we'll just look at how well AFC Wimbledon have done over the last few years as well, getting all the way to League One, overtaking the franchise that they... it's fantastic. It's a fantastic working model, and there is proof that it can work, and that 100% ownership of your club is possible. It's more to do with the lower leagues, but it's the one thing fans really should, United or otherwise, should really take this as an opportunity to try and get more influence in their boardrooms, whether it's just one guy on the board, whether it's 100% fan ownership, whether it's signing petitions, whether it's getting towards a 50+1 model. Anything to get more supporter representation in the boardrooms is vital more now than it's ever been.
On that front, George, we know that today there was a fans forum at Manchester United where some of the representatives from the fans groups who meet with the club spoke to. I think it was like an online call. Ed Woodward was on it. Amazingly, none of the Glazers were on it.
Really?
Which I know is going to be a massive shock, especially on the back of Joel Glazer's completely heartfelt and original apology that he wrote himself the other day. But they were calling for some of the things he spoke about. I'll just quickly mention some of the things that they've handed this letter from the fans forum, from these fan groups, to the owners via the club, and they've called for sort of five requests within the next 7 days. Within the next 7 days. Given these five requests, you've got 7 days to respond. So they're calling for the club to willingly and openly engage, promote the government-initiated fan-led review of football, and use this as an opportunity to rebalance the current ownership structure in favour of supporters, and not approach this review defensively or to fight the status quo. Appoint independent directors to the board whose sole purpose is to protect the interests of the club as a football club, not its shareholders, and not focus on profits over results. Work with the United Supporters Trust and supporters more broadly to put in place a share scheme that is accessible to all and that has shares with the same voting rights as those held by the Glazer family. Commit to full consultation with season ticket holders on any changes, significant changes to the club, including the competitions we play in. Obviously, a nod there to the European Super League. And also, the final one is for Joel Glazer or the Glazer family to provide a commitment that any costs incurred in relation to the creation or withdrawal from the Super League will be funded solely by the Glazer family, not by the club itself. We know that the Kroenke family have already made this commitment to Arsenal fans. So there's like a list of demands there, and you've been here before, seeing these sort of things with the owners. Do you have any faith that you can get a response, or not you personally, but the club will act?
No, not really. Yeah. I think it's great that these demands are being put forward, and I hope that things do happen. It's good to see must have woken up to the threat of the Glazers again. So I'm not going to oppose any of that. It's good that those things are being talked about. But yeah, I know, in the last few years, the Glazers have. I know that they've softened to a degree. They listen to the TRA with regards to more atmosphere in Old Trafford, the rail seats being put in and things like that. So I'm a little more optimistic now, particularly after the absolute humiliation of the Glazers and the owners of the other clubs over the last few weeks, that they will want to win back the trust and support of United fans. I don't know if it's too late for that. Probably is. It's never even been on the cards for myself to trust them. But I think there is a chance. And they really, because as I say, supporters really do have an advantage at this moment in time. So they really need to hammer home what their demands are, and to find out practical, pragmatic ways of actually implementing them.
Do you feel like as well? Do you think that the thing about the Glazers, especially in the past, probably the last 10 years, has been more directed around how much they spend on transfers? And do you think that's kind of been the way it's been framed, is that the Glazers aren't any good because we're not getting backed, as in buying players? And I think that's kind of been the whole marketing campaign of getting them out, is that we're not spending enough money, that's why we're not competing. Do you think that this whole Super League thing has kind of highlighted the bigger problem with them is the fact that they're not caring about the atmosphere in the ground. They're not caring about the local fans. They're not caring about what happens here. Irrelevant of how good United are on the football pitch. They're not, for as much as they want that and they're going to try and do that or whatever they're going to do, they're not even bothered about the fans being able to go to the games, the fans having that connection at all. Whether, even if they stopped investing in the team altogether and said, look, we're going to cut things back, I think that they're just bothered about, they're not bothered about the fan, the local fan at all. It's more,
no,
you know, a global thing, and they really have, they've shown that in the last few weeks, rather than it being, and I think that there's a lot of fans that got behind the Glazer out movement because of investment on the football pitch, rather than the overall fear of this corporate takeover of English football.
Well, yeah, I mean, I first came on this channel like when there was the hashtag unfollow Man United campaign.
Yeah.
Like to just block out United on social media, which didn't work very well. But no, again,
it's like we have a load of people, we ask people to send in our videos for that, and by the time they sent them all in, it finished.
Yeah,
like, and it died.
And it was because United were going through a barren run at the time. Yeah. And it's happened, I'm pretty sure the Green and Gold campaign, which a lot of people think was us at FC United, had nothing to do with us because it was 5 years after we formed. Like a lot of that came about around the time United weren't doing too well. A lot of people who've got hashtag Glazers out on their Twitter profiles are just unhappy that we've not signed Mbappe, essentially. So it does seem a little false. It's nothing to do with the integrity and the history of Manchester United that they're upset about. It's more to do with the sale of players or how we're doing on the pitch. And those things, in the grand scheme of things, they don't matter. You know, we're United fans, so what happens on the pitch is secondary to what is happening at the club. At least that's how I feel. And the Glazers have never cared, obviously, about. They've never cared too much about whether it's the atmosphere or the general feel that you get from United. It's all to do with profit margins. It's all to do about with making money. And they'll only make those concessions if they see something in it for themselves. But at the same time, that doesn't make them very different to the Edwards family and to David Gill and to the people who were in charge of Manchester United, which allowed them to become this monolith that was bought by the Glazers. So they're not too different in that respect. But this is what we were saying 16 years ago. They're never going to care about you as the fan. They're only going to care about themselves. They're not football people. And they're just going to try and milk us for everything they've got. And the ACS, the automatic cup scheme, was you have to buy the cup tickets if you've got a season ticket. Like that for me was the epitome of what they were about. And they've not changed.
No, I remember, the automatic club scheme was, I think it was sitting in against FC Cluj when there was about 10,000 fans there because we had to be. I'm just going to go through some of the comments. RH Elite Coaching in the comments, he says, fuck the Glazers. up the RH.
Am I right?
Yep. Shane Tomlinson makes a great point. They've been neglected Old Trafford. Old Trafford, don't get me started on that. He needs more than a lick of paint. Dwayne Scott says, George's voice is amazing. I've missed there. There's a couple there as well. They are selfish and will never understand the community, which is just exactly what you were saying there. Also, Niall Keane says, this is quality. George speaks very well. Great to hear his perspective. Spoke earlier, George, and Baggers brought up as well about fans, not just United fans. When this was all popping off in 2005, obviously you guys were almost on your own. We've seen a little bit of other clubs' involvement. Do you think we'll ever get to a movement in this country where it is there's a bit of solidarity? Because it's almost fallen apart already. This
I know,
within 4 days we had like these six clubs and these fans, and it was like and another City and Scousers and United and all this coming together, and then 3 days later it's like like Baggers was saying, we're in a Champions League semi final. We're all right.
And, it's difficult enough to bring together United fans, let alone like fans of six clubs competing with each other. So, it's not a surprise. But you talk to fans of those clubs, like at the top six and like, the so-called big six, and we do have more in common than we think in many ways. It's frightening how much in common we've got with the Scousers.
I know,
some
do you
ways.
Know what? It's true. We don't like to admit it, but I got asked this very question the other day. Talking about did something with a beer, and they were like, some people say you got a lot in common, and when you start thinking about it, you think, all right, yeah, let's move on. Let's not dwell on that topic. But yeah, I mean, it does feel like, and we can all be guilty, not yourself, because you've actually took a stand, but I think a lot of football fans in general can be guilty of it. If things are going well on the pitch, it's difficult to mobilise the fan base. That's just almost the nature of the beast. And I think, you know, if you look at, especially with City, what they've gone through, where they were 20 years ago and what they are now, and even the Scousers, you know, won the first title in 30 years, I think a lot of it just seems to stem from what is going on the pitch. For a lot of people, I know not yourself, but for a lot of people, it's like, if things are going well on the pitch, people don't tend to get too angry.
Yeah. And that's, it seems to be, I mean, one thing that I noticed, like the fan protest, which helped to quash the Super League, like that was a refreshing change from the English fan mentality, I thought. Like if you look at it in Germany, regardless of how, you know, successful, like look at Bayern Munich, for example. I don't know how many Bundesligas they've won in a row now, but they're still unhappy about the investment from Qatar and the Middle East, and they're still holding up banners saying it's not what they want. There's still protests, even though it's a success, you know. And there's fan movements in Germany where they boycott the games. All the match-going fans will boycott based on games being shown on Monday nights, you know, like, which is
fair enough. Credit to them for that,
absolutely. But at the same time, it seems like a minor issue compared to whatever everything else is. But credit to them for protesting against that sort of thing. But it is refreshing to see that there does seem to be a lot more fan mobilisation in this country, because it didn't seem to be the case. I don't know. I didn't see much footage of Italian fans or Spanish fans being against it as much as the English fans. So it was refreshing to see us take that continental approach, if you like.
Yes, we spoke to a Spanish football expert, Semra Hunter, who's over in Spain, and she was saying that in terms of Madrid in particular, like a lot of the Madrid fans were all right with it. You know, like, we all looked at Florentino Perez and his interviews and thought he's completely lost the plot. And they were like, you know what, we're kind of with him. And then the Barcelona were just in a right pickle financially. We're like, and Atletico, I think, were a bit more against it, but not to the level. She was saying they've not seen anything like over there, what we're seeing over here, like you just said. In the Super Chat, Devon Sharma says, fans in India are pleading for Mukesh Ambani to take over United. He's the richest man in Asia, worth approximately $90 billion. And owns a successful IPL team. I don't know a lot about that person. No. He's worth $90 billion. Again, you know, is this just the only answer? Another billionaire? Is that the answer to all our problems? I don't know.
It really, well, no is the answer.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah,
like, because I mean, even Paul Scholes, with no sense of irony, was touching on it yesterday. Like, he works with Peter Lim, doesn't he?
I was about to say, Peter Lim owns, like, for those who don't know, Peter Lim is a. He's a billionaire, I think. He owns, is it like a big stake in Salford City?
Yeah, it's 40%, I believe. Yeah. And the others own 10% each, the six from Class of 92. But he also owns Valencia.
Yeah,
and they want him gone because Peter Lim, because they don't believe he gets what it's about. He's a reclusive billionaire from Singapore. He doesn't get what Valencia is. And they're, you know, they've been selling off a load of their players during the COVID lockdowns just to try and make ends meet, and they really want him gone. And there's Paul Scholes on BT going, billionaire owners from other countries don't get what it is to be football fans. Yeah, you're right, mate. Perhaps have a word at your next board meeting.
I mean, that is the ultimate sense of irony when you look at it. Haven't Valencia had both the Neville brothers there as well as managers?
Yeah, the 2015. You know, Phil Neville came in as a coach at Valencia. Gary Neville, with no managerial experience, he couldn't speak Spanish, got the job. I mean, you can't talk about nepotism, you know what I mean? And that's what I mean about how jarring it is to see Neville and Scholes talking about this, as right as they are, and I'm as glad as I am that they're speaking out. They need to do certain things themselves. You know, working for Sky Sports isn't doing football much good.
No.
Working with billionaires like Peter Lim, who you are actively criticising, isn't it going to solve the problem? So, what are you going to do yourselves in order to change that? So, football in general and people speaking out need to look at themselves as well.
Because that's it. The billionaire owners, whether it comes into Manchester United or whatever, whoever takes over, they're not just going to do it for the love of it. They're going to do it to try and make money. And there's been so many times, these owners really struggle. I know it sounds mad. They struggle to make a lot of money off for the amount of money they invest in a lot of times. City owners haven't taken that much money out because there isn't that much there in terms of profit. It's a long way down the line. Mm. And I think people need to understand that the change in this to get it right would need to be a massive step back in terms of football, in terms of how much money is in the top levels of the game. I think that we've kind of, this is all built up to this position. It's all built up to the reason that these owners want to do it is because fans have been demanding and demanding more and more players, and they want these superstar players and they want this. But to do that, you know, you need to guarantee money. And that's the one thing the Glazers have been trying to do for years, is guarantee their income. They've taken their, the percentage of how much they earned on a match day was, it was something around 50 to 60% of that's how much United made, and that was in 2009. It's now down to something like 20, 25, 30%. Most of it's off commercial stuff like that. They want to just reduce that completely, where they go, match day means nothing. Doesn't matter where we finish in the league. We're going to make money elsewhere. And therefore, we'll be able to sign Mbappe. Yeah, we'll spend £150 million on the player because we can do that. I think there's people, it's the overall look of it. People need to understand that it's not just going to be a billionaire that comes in and does it. I think that the 50 plus one would be a help, because at least fans would have that point to say, look, we don't want to join a Super League. Why don't you have a thought about investing in the stadium for people that go every week? Why don't you have a thought about investing in the local community and things like
There's
that?
There's a good point.
Miles
so,
just
yeah,
put
go on,
in.
Go on. If you want to
yeah,
read
Miles
out what Miles
just put
said.
A super chat in here. Wouldn't our owners invest in more in the local area, a la City's owners, sports washing, do more for their public image than hiring Neil Ashton? So that's the kind of thing, is they're looking at, maybe the way City fans are looking at, the City kind of look at it at the minute, is that the investment into local areas. But for me, that's just...
Sports washing, as you just said.
Sports washing, and is that all above board, and is that all a great... I mean, I know East Manchester, wherever, near the Etihad, they've spent a lot of money around there, but then there's a lot of property being bought up in the city centre. Is that helping the local people, community?
And it's not... like I mean, yeah, I lived right near Clayton for a while, and you could walk down a street in Clayton and see the Etihad in the distance, and you're in a street of boarded up houses.
Yeah.
So, you know, to see that wealth in an area of such poverty, it's not, they're not actually doing as much for that local area as people think. And yet the questions need to be asked about where that money's coming from.
Yeah.
And why Manchester City Council are happy to accept it all the time.
Manchester City Council just sort of, keep going along with it, don't they? Yeah. I mean, especially around the city centre, a lot of the areas around here as well, you know, that's not coming back into this community, is it? Mm. And it's a bit of a myth, and it's easy to go, well, you know, they're investing in the area and the help in the area. I don't think they are, especially long-term as well. Because what about affordable housing for people? What about things like that? Is that happening? I don't think it is. Yeah. From what I've gathered, I mean, I'm not an expert on this by any stretch of imagination, but it seems like you're just putting up, you know, you building houses for more rich people. We're getting some more of the comments. Ronan Hill says, Alex, the beautiful bastard, looking very well today.
Thank you.
Someone else saying, looking at Blackburn Rovers, I wouldn't want an Indian billionaire to take over and buy United. There was obviously the issue with the Venkies there.
Yeah,
he was like, yeah, do you remember that with the all sorts of shenanigans that went on there, weren't there? It was just
nightmare, yeah. And they're still there, aren't they?
So. I remember, I used to cover Blackburn, and it was I can't remember, they appointed some guy who was like their spokesperson, and he held a fans forum where he was basically like, it was like he was drunk, he was just slagging off Steve Keane, and like making all these jokes. And Steve Keane was the manager. Someone put their hands up and went, I've got no experience, I drink too much, can I have a job as a football manager? And he went, I'm sorry, that position's already taken. And everyone was laughing. And this was the guy who was in charge, he's like the CEO or whatever he was called. It was just a mess. So yeah, be careful what you wish for, as we've been saying. Do you think Tom says, do you think the Glazers care about protests? As lockdown has proven, they don't even need fans to make money. I mean, this is the question. I mean, I know we keep asking this, George, and it's like, you know, do the Glazers care about the protest? Do you think that has any effect? But you sort of touched on it earlier about the fact that, as a fan as well, you always want to protest, don't you? You want to do something and voice your opinion. You've done the ultimate.
As a person in general, like whether it be football or life, you know, protests are there as a visible form of opposition. So any, as I was saying earlier, any protest is valid. I still stick to that. They were right in the sense that, you know, a lot of owners are seeing what's happening during COVID and seeing, you know, no fans in the stadium but still making money. That's not necessarily true for Real and Barca. That's one of the reasons that they wanted to move away and make money elsewhere. But it does. It feels like, you know, because we're so used to seeing empty stadiums now, if a boycott like we were calling for of Old Trafford when the Glazers took over, if that actually happened, would it have much of an effect?
That's what I wanted to ask you. Do you feel, because I worry about this, I think that would be like the ultimate boycott, is right, we're just not going to go. Like, let's galvanise everyone and just say, right, we're not going setting foot. But then are they going to insulate? Are they at the point where they can insulate themselves and that's it?
It's not going to last forever. Like the idea that they're going to make money regardless without stadium revenue, that's not true. They are going to, and they're businessmen who want as much money as they can. So they're going to be upset once we're allowed fans in again, and if those fans don't turn up. So I would still be in favour of any kind of boycott or any kind of movement which withholds your money from the Glazer family, because that's what it's about. That's what they care about. That's why we formed FC United, to withhold our money from the Glazers and make their business plan fail. And if they're seeing ways of making revenue and not doing it, at the moment they can't have fans in, but when they allowed fans in and nobody's going, that will annoy them, and they may reconsider about their future as owners of United.
Do you think that this protest, we're looking at it as a protest against the Glazers and stuff like that, and it is, but they may ignore it and they may do that. Do you think this protest is probably a bit more important because of, it's almost a protest to show this petition has just gone through, this has just done that it's more to the government and going, look, there's 10,000, forget football fans, 10,000 people in your country here, this is a massive part of their community that still aren't happy. It doesn't matter how well they're doing on the football pitch, they aren't happy with what's going on. And do you think this protest is more to not just show the Glazers, but to show the government almost, this is what you need to
do? Yeah, I think United can speak for a lot of football fans in this regard. And I think it's important to certainly at this moment in time, when it's still fresh in the minds of football fans what they tried to do with the European Super League. So while it's still in the news, while people are still talking about it, get out there and make your opposition visible and make your anger visible and take your cans home. We're not Scousers. Take your cans home.
There's an appropriate message. There is a protest, as we said, at Old Trafford this Sunday. So if you're able to get down there, voice your opposition. Just before we go, George, tell us a little bit about FC United, where people could get involved. I know that obviously the games are on hold at the minute, but people can still get involved.
We can become a co-owner of FC United for £15 a year. You get votes. You get it's one member, one vote. We have two general meetings a year where you can vote on resolutions, members' votes. You can even vote on what kit we have. You know, we vote on everything that affects the club. And if you want to get a membership, just go to our website, and we follow us on social media. We're on everywhere. We're everywhere at the moment. Season tickets are only £150. We sell 10 match ticket books as well, so you don't have to buy a full season ticket. And just get involved, because it's any United fan is welcome at FC, and you'll love it because the atmosphere is terrific, and you're with like-minded Reds.
Absolutely. So we'll get the link.
Sounds like the way it should be. We'll put a link in the description there. So make sure you go and check out FC United. And even if you're not able to get to the games or not, you can support them. Like George said, you can get involved and sort of follow them on social media and check out all the updates there. So make sure you are supporting them as well. We're going to be down there on Sunday. We're also going to have all the build up. So playing the Scousers, aren't we? Almost forget this weekend. We've got a Liverpool game, haven't we?
Leeds, Roma, and Scousers. And it's just
like an afterthought. George, thanks for coming on. It's great chatting to you. We'll have to have you on again, mate, because it's always a pleasure. I know you've been on a few times, and it's always good listening to what you've got to say. And obviously, it's always relevant, but even more so now with what's going on over the past 2 weeks. So check out FC United. Check out Alex Baggers on our socials. You know where to find me. Don't forget as well to hit like, share, and subscribe. This has been House's Brew. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.